greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, in a number of different messages, we have been emphasizing the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And I want to emphasize again a truth I have emphasized many times with you, and that is that we Christians cannot live our lives by ourselves. No matter what our talents and abilities we might have, no matter how much we love the Lord Jesus, we cannot live our lives by ourselves. Some of you are still very young. You may be high school students, you may be young adults. You have long lives ahead of you if the Lord Jesus tarries His coming, and you have to accept the fact that you need the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives in order to live your lives. And so over this long section of Scripture, we have studied a number of passages of Scripture from the Gospels and from the Epistles. And in these passages of Scripture, as we have studied them together, we have tried to simply note some of the many varied ways that the Spirit works in the lives of believers. We did not try to study any of these very deeply, but nevertheless, we did emphasize the truth that was presented in each of the passages of Scripture as we studied the Scriptures of the New Testament. And as we studied these, we took about 20 different messages to study these. It took us a long time to go through these passages and to examine them, even briefly in some cases. Now in this last half of this study, we're studying some topical studies of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And we're trying to deal with these topics in a deeper way, where we go more deeply into the subjects, we examine some of the truths that are presented, some of the ways that we can depend upon the Holy Spirit, and even why the Holy Spirit has to work in these ways in our lives. The first topic we talked about was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk in the world and in our church life, in our life together with other believers, in other words. And how the Holy Spirit bestows upon each believer some kind of a gift. These gifts are to be used for the glory of God. Some of them, from a human standpoint, may seem very insignificant and even worthless to some people, but nevertheless, in the work of God, each gift is important. It may be the gift of giving or sharing or simply reaching out to someone else. It may not be the gift of preaching or teaching or leading in any possible way. Nevertheless, in the body of believers, every gift is important to God. So we dealt with this in a number of different messages. And now we have turned to the subject of the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of the believers and in the work of evangelism. We have discussed this subject over several messages, and I want to continue the subject today. We first of all talked about how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of the servants of the Lord, and how He uses the servants of the Lord to reach others with a gospel. And as we discussed this together, we pointed out that we ourselves have to be prepared and guided and used by the Holy Spirit in any work we do for Him. We never go out in the work or the energy of the flesh. We never go out by ourselves. We never go out with self-confidence. We go out totally depending upon the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the work of the Holy Spirit in preparing and guiding and using us in His service. And then in the second part of this subject of evangelism, we are now turning to the lives of the people to whom we are witnessing. And we're considering a number of different ways the Holy Spirit works in the lives of these people to whom we're witnessing, people we're reaching with the gospel. We talked about His restraining work in their lives. He restrains them from plunging deeper and deeper into sin until they can hear the gospel. And in other ways, we have discussed this. Today, I want to begin by discussing the work of the Holy Spirit in enlightening our sinful hearts with truth when we're unsaved. The work of the Holy Spirit in enlightening us with truth when we're saved. Now remember, When we come to the Lord Jesus, and even before we come to the Lord Jesus, and I want to emphasize this truth again and again, we are incapable in ourselves of understanding the truth of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 emphasizes this very important truth that we need to understand. And that is that the unsaved person, though he may have a great mind, he may have great intelligence, and in fact, in some ways, he may be more brilliant than most of us who are listening to this program, nevertheless, he only thinks on a human level. Were it not for the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, this person would not understand even the truth of salvation. He would be incapable of really understanding this truth and accepting this truth. So, first of all, I want to emphasize, faith in Christ must be based, first of all, upon a clear knowledge of and acceptance of the truth of the Scriptures concerning who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and our clear responsibilities before him in salvation. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the unsaved person. He, first of all, confronts him with this truth. That is, who is Jesus? What has he done? And what is my responsibility before him? I want to emphasize this truth again and again. This is where it all begins. Now, remember, in himself he can't understand this, but by the Holy Spirit, he is given enlightenment concerning this subject. In other words, this is the way the Holy Spirit works. He enlightens him with the truth. And so, using human wisdom, we would not understand this truth. But with the help of the Spirit, he can understand this truth. Now, this truth is not mentioned in the passage that I'm about to cite. But when you study the life of Nicodemus, especially his approach to Jesus in John 3, verses 1 to 21. This man has now come to Jesus, and he's come to Jesus as a Pharisee and a teacher of the law with no understanding yet of his need of the new birth in Christ. Now, he's even come, perhaps, with the attitude that Jesus is wrong in his teaching. Jesus, of course, is insisting he is the divine Son of God, he is the Savior of the world. And Nicodemus, in the very beginning, might not really be convinced of this. But nevertheless, he seems to have come respectfully to Jesus. He seems to have come with an attitude, at least I'm willing to talk to you. And so he's come to the Lord Jesus. He's commended him for being a teacher. And now they're entering into this discussion together. Now between then and John chapter 19, where he helps to bury the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit has been working in his life. And the work of the Holy Spirit has been to enlighten him. Apparently by John chapter 19, verses 39 to 42, where he works with Joseph of Arimathea to take Jesus from the cross, to bury him, and to give him a proper burial, between that time in John 3 and John 19, apparently, the Holy Spirit now has brought him to the Lord Jesus. But it begins back in John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, now, he is being shown by the Lord Jesus his need of a Savior, his need of the new birth. It was an altogether new truth to him, because a Jew would be depending upon the law and good works through the law to take him to a right relationship with God in order to save him from his sins. He would, in fact, even acknowledge his sins. In the eyes of Nicodemus and Paul and others, there would be no sin because I have perfectly kept the law. I'm not only a keeper of the law, I'm a teacher of the law. I lead others to obey the law. And therefore, why do I even need a Savior? And so it's going to have to be the Spirit's work in his life to show him very clearly that he needs the Lord. And this means that the Holy Spirit is enlightening him with truth. Jesus is giving him the truth of his need of a Savior, his need of a new birth, and the Holy Spirit is enlightening him with the truth. And we believe, in fact, that this man finally came to Christ. We see him defending the Lord, and I believe in John chapter 7, then in chapter 19, now he seems to be a sincere believer and follower of the Lord Jesus. The experience of Paul in Acts chapter 9 also clearly shows us that it was not just the vision of Christ that he saw on the road that brought Paul to saving faith in Christ. It was the fact that the Holy Spirit clarified for him, not only worked in his heart to convince him of sin and of his need of a Savior, but the Holy Spirit also worked in his heart to clarify all that he had heard from listening to Stephen and others and convincing him of the truth. Now this was a man, remember, who hated the truth, who hated not only those who preached the truth, but who hated the truth of the gospel and the truth concerning Jesus. The truth itself was hated by him. And therefore, the Holy Spirit had to convince him, this is the truth, and this is the truth you must believe and you must accept, and you must abandon every other effort that you have ever made to be saved. You must abandon all of your resistance to the truth, and now you must humbly bow yourself before God and accept the truth. Now, in enlightening us with the truth, the Holy Spirit not only bases his enlightening work on the Word of God itself, but he also gives us clear understanding of God's Word and applies it to our hearts and lives so that we respond to the truth. So it's not only telling us the truth and convincing in us that this is the truth that we need to believe, but then, of course, he's going to help us as we respond to the truth. In his final meeting with the disciples, before he was crucified, the Lord emphasized that it would be the Holy Spirit who would lead them into all truth. Now, these men were already believers. Let's approach this very clearly. These men were already believers, but there was much of the truth they did not yet understand. They already understood the truth concerning salvation, but the truth concerning Christian life, concerning the Holy Spirit, concerning their ministries for him, concerning how they were to represent him in the world and so forth, these truths were going to be revealed to them part by part as they would serve the Lord with their whole lives. And so these disciples needed to clearly understand in John chapter 14, verse 26, again in John chapter 15, verse 26, and in chapter 16, verse 13. In these three passages of Scripture, they needed to clearly understand that it would be by the Spirit that they would fully understand the truth. Now, what I want to emphasize is this, that when a person comes to Christ, he is just beginning to grow in the Christian life. In other words, he's a newborn babe in Christ. And for the rest of his life, he's going to know and understand the truth of the Word of God. Even at my age, and I'm old enough to be the grandfather of many of you, but even at my age, I recognize I do not yet know all of the truth of the Word of God. I'm still studying year by year by year. I'm going through the Scriptures again and again, and I still don't understand everything. The Holy Spirit is still enlightening me with the truth. When I was 14, he enlightened me with the truth of salvation itself. But now that I'm older than this, he is still enlightening me with the truth of God's Word. So my prayer for you would be this, that you might depend upon the Holy Spirit. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, let him show you the truth. It may be through the witness of another person, but let him show you the truth. And be convinced in your heart by the work of the Holy Spirit that this is the truth that you need to accept. You need Jesus as your Savior. You need to trust him. You need to follow him then with all your hearts. And then as a Christian, let him continue to show you the truth of the Word of God and to enlighten your heart year by year, even day by day. Enlighten your heart with this truth. May God help you to understand the truth and to be enlightened by it and then to follow it. May the Lord bless you, each one.